Yes, it is daunting. But I did some research on amicable breakups. I visited www.ladiesgoodhealthmag.com/sex-relationships/867599904/9432&2.html. Do you know that site?
No.
TBTL!
I'm done with wolves now. I'm into angry unicorns.
If I was a unicorn, I'd never be angry.
No. I don't mess with computers, okay? Ever since I died of dysentery on the Oregon Trail, I was like, no thank you. I'm done with this.
My door is always open, except when it's closed. But you can open it when it's closed.
You guys think I'm some kind of wimp, but I'm not. I am tough and I'm strong. And I love to splash around in chilly water.
Here's some advice I gave to the girls in my dance troupe at the Dance Till You Drop tournament. That advice was dance, dance, dance.
Or we could just go with the flow, see what happens. I don't give a what.
Let's blow some tiny minds.
All right, everybody. Hello. Let's do this. Here we are. Together again for a Monday afternoon installment of TBTL. This is the show. In case you don't know, that is dolphinately too beautiful to live.
Dolphinately for sharks.
Andrew Walsh here, helming the show today. Boy, they always say turn the bass up in your headphones. That's what they say. The bass is turned up too high. This is the whitest thing I've ever said, but the bass is too high in my headphones. I don't know what the hell is going on here. But anyway, turn the bass down in my headphones. Get ready for some TBTL, guys. Hey, why are you not hearing Luke right now? Because you're hearing me. Luke is in Hawaii giving a talk to auto dealers. I'm hoping he's going with the speech I suggested, being mahalo in unmahalo times. I got a text from him this weekend. It turns out he is having some communication issues out there.
Aloha means hello and goodbye. Goodbye!
And it's all very confusing to him, but I'm sure he will figure it out and report back to us later on in the week when he gets back here in Seattle. But in the meantime, I have some very exciting guests in the studio with me. We're going to be talking about bears today. We have bears in the news. I'm hoping we can call this segment Barely the News. Got to clear that with my co-host first. Also, great news for fans of that opening tape you heard. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is back, baby.
Kick the kayak, oh, the buckets.
Fox canceled the show late last week, but after a fan rebellion, led by TBTL's own Stu, the Stewbot Riverboy Newman, and his sidekick Kiki Lolo, NBC has decided to save the show from the axe and bring it to their network. So we'll talk about that. And if we have time, I'm going to see if I can get these guys, my guests today, I'm going to see if they will buy a hot dog stand with me. Because there is a hot dog stand, a hot dog restaurant for sale in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City, for the low, low price of $18,000. We are $18,000 away from being hot dog restaurateurs. That's right. First, though, I keep talking about these guests. Who are they? Why won't I let them talk? I will let them talk right now. Let me introduce them to you. My first guest, a vocal advocate for and practitioner of the female gaze. And from the moment she uttered her first words on TBTL, she immediately eclipsed me and became your favorite addition to the show.
Well, you must feel like a celebrity. A regular Ira Glass.
Her name is Hannah Brooks Olson. She's across from me now. How you doing?
Good. Wait, is it the pirate hot dog stand?
No, I don't think so. It's called Neener Neener Wiener.
Oh, my God. There's only one hot dog stand in Bellingham, so that's why it's for sale. I'm blowing the story already.
Wait, hold on. What?
Okay, as a Western alum, I spent a lot of time in Bellingham, and there's a hot dog stand called El Capitan, and there used to be one on campus at Western and one in downtown Bellingham. And it was like the only place you could eat at night that wasn't the 24-hour diner where I worked across the street. The idea that there could even be room in that town for two hot dog stands, I just don't see it.
More like a hot dog restaurant. Maybe we can talk about it more. In the meantime, maybe you can look up Neener Neener Wiener.
I'm absolutely
that's the name of
gonna
it.
Do that.
And we'll come back around to that. I'm gonna introduce our other friend. He's a dear, dear friend of the show, and someday he may even be a dear friend of mine. He is the nerdiest man this side of the Cascades and host of the Northwest Nerd Podcast. You know who I'm talking about, Nick. Jar Jar Jarin?
This man is a Timberlake, and you need to stop treating him like a Fatone.
We need a better nickname for you, man. Jar Jar?
Yeah, I don't know where you come up with these things.
Ew.
I have had a lot of different nicknames on this show and along with you and Luke, though, and none of them have ever stuck. I'm not really a nickname person.
Do people ever call you NJ?
NJ?
No, never.
Do they call you Garden State?
No.
NJ.
Oh, New Jersey. Oof. We're getting like closer. No?
Okay, we'll workshop. It's
anyway, thanks for being here, guys.
Yeah, happy
We're
to be
only,
here.
We're only 7 minutes into the show, and I got through the introduction.
Happy to get the call up. I'm also personally already impressed with myself for not interrupting your intro like I usually do.
You're already impressed with yourself.
Yeah.
We're impressed with you,
too. Do you
too,
see me
Nick.
Over here sitting quietly waiting for my turn?
Just waiting.
Now I'm
going to
dominate the rest
on.
Of the show. It's going to be great.
I have a little pile of index cards for both of you with a pen.
Okay.
This is you guys know, a game?
No, I don't have a game, but now I wish I did have a game. Basically, when I am... They're all blank, by the way. I just... when
is
I,
that the game?
When Luke is gone, I feel like I got a lot of stuff going on, and I can't write the notes like I usually write notes.
Oh.
Show titles... If somebody makes a mistake and you want to cut it out, write it down. If you want to doodle something that we're talking about, we're all a little fidgety. You're probably not fidgety. Are you fidgety,
Me?
Nick?
I'm kind of fidgety.
All right. You can doodle. And then I'll look at your notes after the show.
Well, as a real Amy Santiago type, I'm very excited to be your note taker.
That,
and I will take them.
I don't have a clock in front of me, though, so I can't take timestamps on anything.
No, that is true. Well, look at me. When you want something cut out, look at me and touch your nose, the tip of your nose.
Okay.
Do it. Let me see what that looks like.
Looks like this.
Okay, that is at 7:03.
Okay,
so
cool.
If that were, this is just a drill,
Mark,
but if that were real.
7:03 notes drill.
You should probably cut
this
that out.
No, this is great.
I'm going to write that one down. 7:03, cut all of that out.
I want to talk about your dog for a second, though, Hannah.
Mine?
Yeah, you've been taking a lot of photos and videos of
always
your dog.
Do.
You always do. Dog's name is?
Indiana.
Indiana. Oh, the dog's name was Indy. I knew
That's
that.
Right. I like
yes.
But the most fascinating thing about your dog is?
Oh, I don't. There's so many things. He's super old.
He's eating apples. Every time I see that
dog he loves
in videos,
apples.
You're feeding your dog apples.
The dude loves apples. I don't know why. So he's like, he's real old. He's probably like 12 at this point. Hard to say. I adopted him from the pound in Bellingham. And he was like, maybe one. He's a stray.
Yeah.
And I walked into the pound and I was just like, that one. And then that was it. And that was almost 11 years ago. So he's like a Chihuahua mix. He has no front teeth, like on the bottom.
Yet he eats apples.
But loves. And every time I have an apple, like he'll hear me take the first. And I eat a lot of apples. He'll hear me take the first bite. And then I hear him jump off the bed where he's hanging out. Tick, 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 into the room. And then all of a sudden he's in my face. And like I ate an apple in the car. We drove down to Oregon this weekend and I had an apple in the car and he woke up out of like a dead sleep in the passenger seat and like I knew it was gonna happen and I was like, really tempting fate here, crunch. And he immediately was just like, yeah, loves
it. Hey, right hey,
but you know you love it, though. Are you ever really annoyed? Like,
I mean, I'm sometimes annoyed when he's so close to me that I can feel his, like, hot breath, and I'm just trying to, like, have a snack.
Right.
But, yeah, no, the dude loves apples.
You know my favorite thing about that whole story you told is, I thought it was just going to be the apple talk,
no.
But the fact that, and this, people are not going to like that I'm saying this, because this is a little shade throwy by me, and I apologize. But you have a dog mm-hmm. that you adopted.
Yes.
It was a stray.
Yeah.
He is your dog.
Yes.
He is not your rescue.
No.
Rescue is a verb.
Yeah. I mean, I also don't refer to him. I never call myself a dog mom. Like something about that just like really grinds me.
Who rescued who? No, but I mean, I've talked about this before. I don't need to start the show all negative, but it does drive me crazy when somebody says, our rescue died. We had him for 20 years. First of all, good run. Secondly,
we should all
but
be
like
so
you've had this dog for 20 years. Can't you just refer to him as your dog at this point? Like you have to like
probably.
I feel like calling the dog a rescue
yes.
throughout the dog's entire life really kind of minimizes your relationship with the dog and it focuses more on the fact that you are a hashtag hero.
Well, yeah, I mean I think that's definitely a part that you're like if you would look at my dog, you would know clearly I did not go to a breeder because he's weird looking. But like, I think especially when people
you
have
bred
like,
out all the teeth genes.
God, seriously. And all the like non-neuroses. But
I thought you were going to call it a different portion because I really like your use of onomatopoeia with the tick, 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 tick.
Yeah.
Reminding me of my dogs, which are also small. And that's exactly what they sound like when they hear something they want.
We have turned that actually into a verb in my household because we'll be like, oh, he's like tip-tapping around. So you know that he needs something.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the dog's ready to go out. We'll be like, oh my God, he's really tip-tapping. And it is of him, like, because he'll stand on his little, you know, claws on the hardwood and, like, wait
claws.
For me. And so he'll just sit and, like, tap his feet, like, in an excited. So it'll be like, tick, 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 tick. like behind me everywhere I go, and that's how he lets me know. No, I also refer to him as my roommate. So, like, the nomenclature we use.
Well, as long as he's paying his share of the rent.
No, he's never brought home a paycheck, and I'll never forgive him for it. He's a deadbeat, actually.
I'm getting you guys both dog nail trimmers.
No,
for
I can't
Christmas.
Do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I bring him in to do it. No, I can't do it.
Mine just got groomed, so we're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I don't
by the way,
because your dogs have hair. They're like longer dogs.
One of them does, yeah.
And it needs to like go to a groomer.
Yeah, he needs to go to a groomer for that. Although, I don't know. My girlfriend trims his hair too.
Really?
She'll go either way, yeah.
I could never do the nails. We only have cats, but I could never do that either, by the way. Genevieve, every now and then, will do it. She's like, you just squeeze their paws and they pop out. And she's like, oh.
No.
Yeah.
No, my sister's a dog groomer. And so, like, literally every time I visit her, in Oregon. But, yeah, and actually, I forgot to have her do them this time. I'm like, mad.
Aren't you back from Oregon right now? Have you been home yet? Are you back right now from your trip to Oregon?
I am back. I'm going back out of town next week, but it's...
But, like, have you been home since you got off the road, or did you drive directly?
Oh, yeah, no. I went. I was at my house working today.
Because I could not do that.
No, I've been all over the place recently.
Where in Oregon, if you don't mind me asking?
Eugene.
Oh,
like,
cool.
Outside Eugene, yeah. Nice. Yeah, they're... It's good. If we have any Eugene 10s and you need your dog groomed, my little sister's name is Emma, and she's extremely good. Her shop that she owns, wait for it, guys, is called Murphy's Paw.
Oh, I like it.
Really easy
to
remember, too.
That's very good.
Yep.
I like it.
Yep.
Nick, touch your nose. I'm cutting that out.
Hashtag sponsored.
Okay, Nick, we don't have tons of time before we go into the break.
That's okay. I can do this quickly.
You tell me. You tell me. Should we take a break and come back and give it some time, or should we be economical about it? I want to know what you think of the latest Avengers. I know we're a little bit late to the party here, but you're my nerd friend.
Yeah.
Off air, if I saw you, I'd be like, well, I want to know what you think. Do you have like kind of a
quick... I think what I have to say about this film is probably going to upset people. So let's do it afterwards.
That is a tease.
I'm so ready for these hot takes.
All right, so hot takes on Infinity Wars.
Yeah,
Infinity War.
Avengers Infinity War.
Okay.
Yeah, just one war for now.
That's coming up. Because I've seen it too, by the way. But
good.
I don't
I'm
have
glad.
Any kind of,
otherwise,
I
would say some
like,
very spoilery things. You'd
wait, was
be like,
that the
oh,
one with the youths? Was that when the youths were in the?
Did you listen to that?
I
did
hear that
one. So embarrassed. I was. That is the.
No, that was that. That's my life. I was just with college students last week, and I was doing the same thing. Where I was like, these young people are so good.
I went to this whole thing last week, Nick, or 2 weeks ago. We went to see the Infinity War movie somehow through Genevieve's work at the university. It was at Cinerama. And so we didn't know what we were walking into. And it was an incredibly crowded theater, almost all with college students. And of course, I was old when I was 18. Mm-hmm. So like I was immediately like braced for just like, oh, I can't handle this young crowd. And by the end, I was just like, will everybody be my best friend? They were all just like, they just were like this hilarious, huge group of like 500 people who was just like, they all felt like they knew each other their entire lives. I'm like,
wait,
is this what the younger generation is like?
How did you get this sense of community with people in a dark, quiet room?
It wasn't quiet. That's the whole thing. But it wasn't annoying either. It was just that they were just, like, before the show, like, everybody getting excited about things. Certain characters come on, and, like, different parts of the room were getting excited about it.
Oh,
there's a
is
little
it the
bit
kind of room where, like, Iron Man shows up
that.
And people start clapping?
Yeah. Because it was still the first week that it was out. But, like, sometimes, you know, there are some movies where you have somebody who's gasping and making a lot of noise, and you're like, dude, this is the hours. Like, you need to chill out. But then a movie like this, it just, like, really made it. And at the end, I don't want to give away spoilers, and I'm just repeating what the listeners heard. Like, there was, like, one nerd who got the reference at the very, very end, like, tag
the
scene after
the beeper one?
What's that?
The beeper reference?
Yes. Yeah. The thing, yes, exactly. And the whole theater, which was chattering away during the credits, goes quiet for that last scene. It comes up. We watch the scene silently. It goes back to black after the reveal, and one nerd in the front of the crowd somewhere just screamed, "Yes!" And then, like, everybody else around me started screaming at him, "What was it? Somebody explain this damn thing!"
Oh, that's
anyway, now I've told the story I'm embarrassed about twice on the show. Thank you, Hannah, for that.
You're no, welcome. But what an endorsement
I just keep
for like
that the more I tell it, the more I'll be able to explain
no,
why I was
love
charmed.
It. No, this is me every time I'm around. I mean, as a nearly 31-year-old. I feel 100 years old.
Oh my God,
similarly,
I'm over 10 years older than you.
Well, yeah, because I always feel like I've been old since I was 12. Like, mm-hmm. I have been old.
Mm-hmm. No, but I like that story because it's a great endorsement of the in-theater experience.
Yes.
Which I think is TVs get better and better. People are like, I'll just watch it when it hits Netflix. And I strongly disagree with that. I love going to the movies.
And I would have been the opposite before. I would say, no, I just want it to be quiet. I want it to be my own experience. But I don't know, man. The youth are turning me around. All right, let's take a quick break. You're listening to TBTL. Why am I re-IDing as if we're on the radio? You're listening to TBTL. It is 41 minutes past the hour.
Can we get
when
a traffic
we come
break?
Back, we come back. We
check them, don't wreck them.
Uh-oh, looks like things are backed up around the S curves around Renton. Okay, coming up, barely the news, couple of bear stories for you, hot dog stand chat. You know what's coming up. I just talked about it 5 minutes ago. We'll be back. You're back with TBTL on your hot talk station, WALSH. Oh, God, that fell apart. Hey. all right, Nick, you have a hot take on Infinity Wars.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, there's
we'll
no
stakes.
We'll
be back stakes. After this. Go ahead.
Wait, there's no stakes.
There's no stakes. It's more a Thanos movie than an Avengers movie, and I really dislike Thanos.
As a character or just in the movie?
As a character and just the reaction to him as well. Like the
Thanos thirst? Please explain to me.
The Thanos thirst, like...
Wait, what is that?
People being sexually attracted to Thanos.
Oh.
It's on my timeline a lot.
He's a thick boy. Yeah. Tumblr is ablaze with it.
Really?
I had to Google it. So I have not seen this film because, as we have talked about in previous episodes, I don't go to see many films. I did go see Black Panther. That's the last movie I saw in theaters.
It's a good choice.
Yeah, it was great. I would see it a second time in theaters. But I saw all these people like, oh, Thanos doing the most. And I was like, who is this? I was like, I literally was like, is it an athlete? Is it who is this person? So I had to look it up, and then I was like, wait.
So he's a cartoon. See, that to me was part of the issue with the movie. And again, I would like to try to keep this kind of non-spoilery for those who haven't seen it.
Yeah, totally.
But when Thanos dies at the end, holy shit, just kidding. Now you got to figure out, was I being sarcastic or not? Maybe Thanos does die at the end, and maybe there's a big funeral for him.
Well, then it's creepy two ways.
But as you were saying, Nick, yeah, the stakes are super, super high to the degree that it's unrelatable. But aside from that, the stakes also are, you know, kind of are surrounding a non-human actor, essentially like an all-CGI character.
Well, I mostly mean the stakes in the ending, which I thought was incredibly manipulative, because anybody who follows Marvel movies like... even a tenth knows that they're going to continue to be movies starring some people who meet unfortunate ends at the end of that movie. And that felt incredibly manipulative to me.
Yeah,
I was like, you did not earn this. Yeah. And there's a lot of moments that I felt throughout the movie where they didn't earn it. A lot of Thanos moments in particular. One where he has to make a choice to sacrifice something in order to get something that he really wants. And he does it. And in essence, the movie wants you to go along with this overall concept that him as an abuser, his love cosmically still counts as love. And that was one of the moments where the movie really lost me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting take. Shit, I also had a thought. Oh, you know what I was going to say is I came up with what I consider to be kind of a brilliant analogy for what this movie is like. Yet every time I tell somebody it, they just give me a blank stare in return. So I'm not getting anything that I need from people. I was wondering if you guys could provide
it to me. So you're going
to
keep trying it?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So instead, I'm going to try it one more time with two of the most cynical people I know.
Okay.
And see how that works. I thought it was like a bag of Chex Mix. Because if you are like me and you like Chex Mix. There are things that you love in Chex Mix, and there are things that you'll take it, but you're not that excited about. For me, I'm a bagel, right? Or what are those? Pumpernickel chip
guy. Yeah, yeah, the brown things. Like kind of,
yeah, the brown things. Yeah. I'm a brown thing guy. Sure. The pretzels, to me, totally filler. Somebody else might love the pretzels the most. You know, we can also fight about these ingredients and my opinions on them later, too.
Yeah, I also feel like you're talking about Gardetto's and not Chex Mix, but go on.
No, it's the same, mix.
That's what happened last time I brought this up. We got into Gardetto's.
Gardetto's doesn't have Chex in it.
Right. And also, Gardetto's has bagel chips.
Yeah.
Whereas Chex Mix has the brown.
Gardetto's also has brown things.
But
it's a different bread. Isn't it like a white bread and the Chex Mix ones are like a rye bread?
I think Gardetto has the brown and the bagel.
No, Gardetto's makes an entire bag of just the brown things.
Oh, right. Yeah. Wow. I've never had that. See, that's the whole thing. Anyway. You go just for the brown things? Like, I love the brown things, but I need them to be like...
But I mean, they're like, I would never go for the bag of just brown things, because that's like going for a bag of like just pink Starburst. Like, yeah, they're the best ones.
Yeah.
But part of your enjoyment of it is you have to fight your way through the yellow ones.
Variety is the spice of life.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
so
we're all in on this.
There's some pretzel parts and there's some brown things.
Yeah, and chances are, like, you will have a different opinion about the movie or which parts were good, depending on whether or not you like the Black Panther movies the most or the Thor movies the most. Like, I don't give a shit about Thor. Sorry, Thor lovers. I don't have the Thor thirst.
Did you see Ragnarok?
No, but I heard that's amazing.
That's like a top three Marvel movie for me.
Yeah, really? Yeah, maybe if I go back and watch that one. Anyway, enough of that. Let's move on.
Wait, did we give you what you wanted from that analogy?
I mean, you didn't laugh at me.
Oh.
Oh, is it supposed to be funny?
No. I'm glad that you didn't laugh.
Okay. I got you.
I mean, you started me with snacks, so I was immediately riveted.
No, I mean, honestly, what happened. I'm remembering that last time maybe I was talking to Camaro Kev. I can't remember who it was. It ended up being a conversation about Gardetto's versus Chex Mix, honestly. I really just got to, like, start leading with that. Do you like Gardetto's or Chex Mix?
Are you a Gardetto's
person?
People
are way more interested in that conversation.
Well, that's like a question of, like, are you more of a Marvel person or are you whatever the other one is? DC. Yes.
Just got it in there.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
All right, before we get into a segment that I am definitely going to call Barely the News, even though I still haven't run it by you guys, let's talk about this Brooklyn Nine-Nine thing for a second. Before the show, or was it during the show? I don't know. It's a very porous line. Nick, you were saying that you actually never got on the Brooklyn Nine-Nine train, eh?
I tried really hard. Like, I've seen 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all the way through.
And when I fell out of it, I never looked back.
You just never looked back.
I feel no reason to go back.
I got to say, I have become a big fan of the show. I think I didn't like it so much at first because I looked at it as a Andy Samberg. Am I saying that right? Sandberg, right?
Samberg.
Andy Samberg vehicle. And as an Andy... And as an You're Andy, welcome. Son of Sam Samberg show, I didn't care for it. Oddly enough, I mean, he is clearly the lead. Obviously, it was kind of a project built around him. It wasn't a Lorne Michaels show, was it? Or
no, it actually wasn't built around him. He wasn't on the project originally.
Really? No shit.
And this is what happened with NBC.
No shit. Tell me.
So this is what happened with NBC. NBC originally was working on it. They had this project. And then they sold it to Fox before Andy Samberg had gotten on it.
Yeah.
And then Andy Samberg got on it and Fox ran with it. And NBC, an executive for NBC, has said in multiple interviews now that, like, they were kicking themselves for not keeping the show. Yeah. So when Fox canceled it, NBC was like, yes, give it to me. And so, like, they went and got it back because they hadn't really seen sort of the vision of it until it had sort of gotten going.
And was the show still produced by NBC Universal Studios?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Because that's the thing. Like, I forget that it was a Fox show because to me it is so closely linked to Hulu. Like, I always watch it through Hulu. It feels like it's promoted a lot on Hulu. And then Hulu,
it's produced through NBC Universal, which is because they share that studio, I guess, Fox and NBC do. And that's also why it's really, it's a Michael Schur show, which is why it's so closely linked to Parks and Rec.
And that's
why there's like a lot of, like, the same characters or the same actors will kind of come be part of it, and it sometimes has a similar vibe, which is also why the first season is the most underwhelming, because Michael Schur has this way of having first seasons that are not great, and then the show gets better and better.
Really?
Yeah, because Parks and Rec's like that too. The first season of Parks and Rec is like universally panned as terrible because they hadn't really found their footing, and they just like it takes a while to figure out who all the characters are.
It's like a different show early on.
It's fully different. Yeah. It's fully different because
I'm
they had
go
pictured,
back and watch
because
I
you'll be surprised.
But the thing is, I might also be contrarian on that because like my favorite episode of 30 Rock is the first season. I feel like it's so much more grounded in reality, and by the end, listen. our audience loves 30 Rock. I love 30 Rock, guys. I don't want anybody to say anything bad
about
30 Rock.
Friends?
But by the end, the characters were just so big and cartoonish and caricatures of themselves. When you go back, if you like watch the last season then go back to the first season, it is amazing how kind of contained and small and subtle and yet still hilarious the
first
season is.
I feel like that's a reaction or like our result of the writers though too in that room.
Oh, were they just changing over time, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Donald Glover was one of the early writers on 30 Rock.
Oh, he didn't stick around the whole time?
Nope.
I was telling Luke.
He went and did Community.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That was...
I think he was only there for two seasons.
Maybe even one.
Yeah, and so I think 30 Rock is very much a product of who was writing for it.
I was already telling Luke this on the show, and I don't know why I need to repeat it, just for the two people in the room, not the 10 people listening to the show. But for the longest time, Genevieve and I thought his name was Donald Glover because there's a joke. You remember that joke, and I still don't know. I feel like, you know, when you're a little kid and a joke goes
like,
by you,
Donald
there's so
Glover,
much about the world you don't understand. You're like, was that a dirty joke? Someday I'll understand it. Yeah. And then you're like an adult, you're looking back at that joke.
That just didn't make sense.
That's how I am with that joke.
Yes.
Was Donald just an inside joke that Tina Fey threw in there to screw with her
It's
writer?
A joke about people mispronouncing black people's
yes.
names just because they're black.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha. Right. It looks like Donald. Donald? Like,
yeah. But there's no yeah. context for
just
that,
Donald.
Though, right?
No.
Yeah, she just kind of throws it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Donald Glover. Should we even talk about This Is America, by the way?
Oh, my God.
This show has no structure.
I can't. I mean, we can if you want to clear the rest of this hour for
yeah,
me to just
too
like
much.
Well one, speaking of thirst, and two,
I know,
I mean, like, I have long joked that Donald Glover like is my sexuality, period, full stop. Like
just walking around
there he is. There he is, he can do it all. I mean, Lando.
I know, I'm dying
anyway,
for that.
So
will you go to the theater for that?
Yes.
You're cooling yourself with your diet coke.
I can hear the ice in my head.
My head.
I really hope that came through.
That was honestly
really
like a 1990s Diet Coke commercial.
Matt sound.
But anyway.
There's a dusty western town and Hannah Brooks Olsen just wiped a Diet Coke across her forehead.
It basically is a Diet Coke commercial.
Just the beads of sweat.
Anyway, people might not know what we're talking about.
Donald Glover released this single and video of This Is America the same night he hosted and also was the musical guest on SNL, which is so brilliant the way they did it too, because they're like, you know, host Donald Glover, musical guest Childish Gambino, and you're like,
yeah,
it's the same guy.
Yeah.
And then also he put out this just incredible music video that I cannot do justice as a white person, but also is,
I mean, it's laden with symbolism about African American, well, I should say racism and gun violence and all kinds of stuff. But here's kind of one question I have for you guys, and again, so white guy, do I want to bring this up in my podcast? Do I have an answer for it? I don't know. This weekend, what was going around was what on its surface really is a very funny kind of meme thing where somebody took the first minute
yes.
of it
yes, yes,
and
yes.
said it to
Carly Rae Jepsen,
Call Me Maybe.
Yes.
Call Me Maybe. Yes. And his choreography matches the beat of that in an incredibly hilarious way. But it's also a very, very serious video with some very serious violent imagery in it at times, and I was kind of wondering if, like, is this okay? We live in this culture where immediately things go on the internet and you can have fun with them, and even though it had a serious message, it is still a pop song written by a pop culture celebrity, or should we not be screwing around with it?
I think he also had an album called Because the Internet. I think
yeah.
he gets it.
Okay, good. So
I feel
agree.
That
okay.
he'll forgive us.
They made that thing knowing that it was going to be memed.
Okay. Yeah, oh,
they
yeah.
They knew that.
Because yeah,
I was
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
much fine with it, but I just saw some people being like,
I mean, it
oh,
is
why
also,
can't we just let art be art?
And I will counter this question in general with another version of that video that was going around this weekend, which was the women's edit by some YouTube person.
I think and I
it
saw
is
that and I stopped
worthy
it.
Bad. And that is the type of thing that,
yes.
like, takes all of the symbolism and gets all of it completely wrong.
Was that something?
Whereas
was
the Carly Rae Jepsen one is just someone trying to be funny.
Yeah, right.
And
okay.
it is.
So
yeah.
it's not,
and
it's
it works.
So it's not sacred. So, but what no. was this remake? Because I saw that and I was like, I don't want to click on that. That's not the first thing I want
to
watch.
I came really
today.
Close to not giving it my click, too,
yeah.
but I was already on a page
but
that
was it like
about
a conservative
like,
sort of response, or was it just applied to...
No, it just takes... all of the things about the video, like it just apes its style, the way it's shot. It tries to recreate some of the choreography and shoehorn in like women's issues of the day, like breastfeeding in public, equal pay, things like that. And it's just so bad. It completely misses the point. It doesn't know what it's doing with its source material, and that weakens it so much. Because it has some good points to be made.
It's not respectful. Well, and here's the other thing. Like, y'all, in this, the era of the internet, we can all just make our own things if we want. Like, make your own music video with your own song about normalizing breastfeeding or whatever. Like, you don't have to be like, but also Donald Glover, let me in on this thing. Like,
well, but
that's what internet influencers do, though. They draft off of other people's popularity.
They do.
And what are you going to do?
And yeah, no, it was just some, that was some bullshit.
You want my hottest take on This Is America?
What? Yeah.
The video's better than the song.
You think? Oh, yeah. I think the song is a jam. I had the song stuck in my head for it. I was like listening to the song too.
The song is a jam, and I've definitely streamed just the song more than I watched the video. But in terms of like artistic expression,
I think that's
the video is just leaps and bounds beyond the music.
And I'm right, he did not direct it, right?
Hiro Murai, my favorite director.
So good. Also from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the things I've been very interested in This Is America, and also as a viewer of Atlanta, is how sort of like, how wonderful it is to get to watch these young people who can work together and make like extremely dope stuff that is so bizarre and doesn't explain anything to you, does not hold your hand. Because like Atlanta's weird.
Oh my God.
Atlanta's a weird show.
Invisible
and it's so
fucking
good.
Car. I was catching up on last season.
This season is just, I mean, every episode you're like,
what are we going to do tonight?
Yeah, like, yeah, what's
completely
the deal?
Different, yeah.
There was one episode that was entirely, like, a throwback of, like, them in school, and it had exactly zero appearances of any of the stars of the show.
Really?
They're not in it
at all. I haven't seen that one yet.
That's also the episode that I got the most texts about from my brother, because he went to middle school in Georgia, and he's like, oh my God, so many flashbacks to this.
Really?
The title of the episode is FUBU, there may or may not be a counterfeit FUBU jersey in that.
And so real.
Middle and high schoolers are absolutely brutal about that.
I'm gonna listen to a little bit of this.
Guns in my area. I got the strap.
Hey,
I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, I'ma go into this. This is gorilla.
Turn the bass down in my headphones.
Okay, Grandpa.
I have not listened to the song without watching the video. I've watched the video a million times. This is the first time I've listened to it without watching.
Oh, okay. So I was just going to say, like, we also need to shout out Young Thug for what he's doing in this song and all the other ad-libs that they incorporate into this, like Blockboy JB, Slim Jimmy from Ray Shrimmer and all that stuff. It's great.
There's some really interesting, like, cameos and, like, it's really...
You guys want to talk about Bears?
Wait, we didn't get to Nine-Nine.
Well, what else do we have to say about Nine-Nine? It's back, baby, and I think the Stewbot with his...
It's back. I'm delighted. So I just want to say the thing that I love about Nine-Nine, and the thing I always talk to people about, is I love how kind it is. Like it is a very kind show. Like, my friend Meg Rowley, who writes about baseball, if you're into baseball, you should read her on Fangraphs. She and I were getting drinks and talking about Nine-Nine, and she said what I thought was the most profound thing. She's like, you know, they don't make fun of Boyle because he's soft. They make fun of him because he's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really kind and important difference. Like, there's not, like, bullying. It's not... And also, the writers aren't excessively mean to the characters. Like, even I think to your point about Avengers of, like being manipulative.
Mm.
And that, I feel like, doesn't happen in Nine-Nine. They're never trying to get you to believe something, like, just to, like... Like, I stopped watching The Walking Dead because I was like, the writers are just manipulating viewers, and it's annoying me. Like, I don't appreciate you treating me this way.
I'm not trying to pop your balloon here, but I'm blanking on their names. Yes. But the two really incompetent cops. I mean, there is a lot of...
Yeah, but they also have a great life.
They're not necessarily fat jokes, but I mean, they are, like, overweight, very slovenly, and constantly eating. And dropping food all over the place.
They also are best friends, and they have great lives together, and they really love themselves.
You know what they remind me of a little bit is who's the character everybody's really mean on 30 Rock? Mean to on 30 Rock.
Well, Jerry from Parks and Rec.
This is something that
Michael Schur clearly has in his back pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing I like about Nine-Nine is I just think it's written really well. I think it's really funny. Like, the number of, like, Nine-Nine jokes that my partner and my... Like, we went to a wedding a couple weeks ago, and the whole time we were just like, do we think there's going to be toitin' ups? Like, there's so many parts to it. Or, like, there's one time where Gina says that someone's a stone cold atrocity. And
that's not a bad Gina. Holy shit, man.
That's a good
one. I know.
One.
That was pretty good.
But we, all the time, my partner and I would be like, you're being a stone cold atrocity right now, which is like hilarious. Like, that's such a funny turn of phrase. And so I think it's just, it delights me.
I have used up almost all of my Brooklyn Nine-Nine drops so far this show. Should we just burn through the rest? Just like leave nothing on the table?
I can't believe you didn't say, I will never, you don't have, I will never turn my back on Scott. That's
I didn't even know about that one. I don't know if this is a good idea or not, but let's give it a shot. Do I even have this thing turned up? I do not. Somebody touch your nose. What were you going
to
say?
Well, also, just shout out to any of the tens who ever watched 9-9 and realized that Cheddar is a different dog in every episode.
Oh, really?
Cheddar is a different corgi in every single episode. And not only like that, but like a different kind of
like
corgi.
Noticeably.
Oh, that's great.
Like
that's
cardigan, good... Welsh, all over the place. Like, it does not matter. Yes.
I'm sorry if we implied you weren't smart.
Oh, and I'm sorry if we implied you're both asexual nerds who can only be friends with service animals.
Oh, that's a good drop.
That's a good one. I don't use it much because I think I used to be much more like kind of negative with the montages I make at the top of the show. It's funny because I save every montage I ever made.
Really?
Yes. And I try to save the, well, no, boring. But I try to save also the kind of the session in which I made it in case I want to go back and just tweak one little thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have a very rich life.
Is this what's going to like play at your funeral? It's just all of the montages you made for the, like that'll be playing in the background.
But if you go back to the early ones, like I think because I was so inspired by the Kevin and Bean show, and that's like a, you know, a morning drive LA ball busting kind of show. And I was making these things. So there's a lot of kind of like insults now, much more PG than some of the stuff they do. But I go back and I listen to them. I'm like, that's not really our vibe. Like calling somebody like an asexual moron or whatever she said there. I do like this one. I haven't played this. I used to use as an intro back in the day.
I know you think getting in trouble is cool, but let me show you what can happen if you continue down this path. Hey, yo, I'm an at-risk kid and I think it's cool to sell drugs.
Hold up. Why does the kid selling drugs sound like he's black?
He's not.
Well, why not? Are you saying that black people can't sell drugs?
No, I'm not saying that.
If we have a black president, why can't black people sell drugs?
Is that Pete Davidson in that?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Kind of sounds like his voice.
It's another one of those shows, too, though, where you never are sure. Like, anytime they're like, oh, like a new person is coming into the office, you're like, oh, who's it going to be? Because you know it's going to be some actor you love. Like when Ken Marino shows
up.
Yep,
we had a little bit of that in the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He was good. I think he just gets in there for a minute. All right, I'm not going to go through all of those drops.
Anyway, yay, 9-9. Welcome back. Thanks,
yes.
Stubot, for leading that charge.
Yes, and welcome back to where you belong.
Where you should
have
been.
Like, I really should. Yeah, it always. I had to really work hard to remember that that was a Fox show. Also, we should just mention, you know, quasi friend of the show, maybe at this point. Does she still remember we exist? But Kristen Schaal's Last Man on Earth, canceled by Fox in the same blow as this one. And what was the third
the
one?
The Mick.
Oh, The Mick, yeah. Which Genevieve really liked.
I've heard a lot of people give me this one. It looks awful, but actually it's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it seems it's a little hyper for me. It's a little up. It's a little like, you know, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's just like, yeah. It's, you know,
I gave
which
it an episode,
from, of course.
And it was like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but this time kids are being mean. And I was like, I don't need mean kids in my life.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a pitch
also,
that
I
I'm
mean,
not comfortable.
I'm going to be honest with you. The whole thing about being a drunk aunt feels a little real for me. So I'm just not sure that I need a whole show about my disastrous life.
Yeah, last time you were on, I think you're talking about taking your nephew
my
or
niece.
Niece.
Took her around
bar.
This time too, and everyone was like trying to help me get her into the car seat, and I was like, I can do basic human functions, like I can take care of a child, come on. They assume I can't.
They were trying to say that you were drunk. You had 8 beers.
I've never babysat my nephews.
I had 8 beers today.
I can't find
that's
that
all I
anywhere.
Had that's I did it for you. It's
thank
fine
you.
I did it live.
I appreciate it. Alright, can we talk about bears for God's sake?
Oh yes, get to the bears.
Thank
Ogren
you
and Barrett.
That makes barely the news seem like a really good joke.
It really does. I got a lot of bad puns.
Yeah,
Barry's
thank you
easy
for that. All right, I'm gonna build up to my favorite bear story. I'm gonna start with this one. Bear smashes car window in Rockaway, eats 2 dozen assorted cupcakes. The
is there
story
a comma
of this,
somewhere in there?
Yeah, the comma was between Rockaway
that was
and
hard
Eats.
To follow.
Yeah. Anyway, in Rockaway. Here's what I find interesting about this story. Not that a bear broke into a car to eat a bunch of cupcakes, but that they left the cupcakes in the car. The story starts out, I'm kind of scanning
because
here.
Because you would never let a cupcake leave your sight? Or
well, no, because on Thursday morning, who is it? I'm looking for her name here. Christine Allen, who owns a bakery, left the cupcakes inside her Honda SUV parked in the White Meadow Lake area. Where's that?
Sounds
we still don't
lovely.
Know.
Sounds gentrified.
Used to be Brown Meadow Lake.
On Thursday morning, she found a smashed rear window, no cupcakes, and a paw print in the back seat
oh,
headrest, and lots of smeared
it's
icing.
It's like they signed the crime scene.
Yeah. He left his comic
sincerely,
card.
Let me get this ink pad out. There you go.
He just beat the wet bandits. She says he ate every single one. But you say, why am I surprised that that she even left him in there? Because this bear is like the chillest freaking bear on earth, and it's hanging out at their house in White Lake all the time.
Oh wait, so this is a known bear?
This is a known bear. Here's what the woman is saying. The first time the bear was seen by the Allens, it was on April 21st, around 8 in the morning. She says he came out one day and broke down the back fence to get in, and then he broke it again to get out. Then he came back the next day, and he was just relaxing in our backyard.
Oh,
I can't show you guys both, but will you take a look at this? Well, maybe I
can
spin around.
Oh,
yeah. Bear just chilling out
in
a tree over there, just like totally chill bear. That was on the 21st. Neighbors who have seen the bear say it's a large one in size, indicates that it's a male. The bear came back on the 22nd. The Allen said he broke into the basement, broke down the basement door to get their garbage. Quote, then he went in the backyard and had a feast, said Christine Allen. He was just lazing about in the sun. Adrian
eating
Allen
garbage
said,
and laying around in the sun.
Which sounds a lot like what I did on Sunday. Also, the bear broke down another section of the fence to get back into the woods. So in other words, you are a family who has a bear practically as a pet at this point, and you're leaving cupcakes
uninvited
in your
guest.
Car.
Yeah.
But you're basically setting a bear trap in your car.
Right.
I don't know. He can get into the house, though. Maybe they're like, maybe if we leave him in the car?
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
That's
go.
A good point.
Ooh, a diversion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, let's hide him under our kid's bed. he'll never find him there.
Did the Allens do something to piss off the bears? Have they been out like saying mean things about bears?
Or they haven't done enough.
Maybe the bear just thinks that he's friends with them. Like, you know, in 90s sitcoms, they always had that one kid who would like just come in through the window.
Yeah. Yes.
That's this bear.
Yes. You're right.
His name was...
They need to have a talk with him.
Seth, and Clarissa explains it all, I think.
Also, there was a character named Boner on a show
yes.
in the 80s.
Growing Pains,
yes. He, I don't know if he really came in through the window, but he definitely hung out in the kitchen a lot. Here's what Christine Allen says. We don't want him to destroy our property, but we are very animal friendly, so we don't want the bear killed. Animal cruelty is not what we do. And so I guess that kind of answers your question. She's not going around saying bad shit about this bear. She's saying nice things about the bear, and the bear is feeling really relaxed about the whole thing. All right.
Well, the bear knows it's safe. The bear knows she's not going to
exactly.
come and shoot it.
It's a, you know, it's a safe
I
space.
Do still think, though, well, I mean, so bears, oh, God, bears are so smart, and they're so good at, like, sense. As I was just in rural Oregon, I was, my brother-in-law had a trail cam that he used to use to watch, like, what critters were coming and going on the trail where he would like sometimes hunt or just like hang out.
Yeah.
And he went to go shoot or something the other day and texted my sister and was like, so we're going to have some really interesting photos on the trail cam, and then sent a picture of the destroyed trail cam, which had bear teeth marks in it.
Oh, crap.
And indeed, a bear had like smelled him on the camera and was like, what is this?
Whoa.
Ripped it down, like bitten it. Totally crumbled it and then left. And the last pictures on it are just of a bear face. Like the last pictures that were sent to him are just like of a bear face, like staring it down. But it like fully cased the joint, like right after he had been up there last, because there's like pictures of it like stalking around. But it's because it could still smell him like on it. And it was like, whatever this human garbage is, like I need this out of here.
Wow.
Well, the bear probably thought that like other animals do, he had stored food somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Was like, oh. Let's bite into this thing.
This is a cool resource. Yeah, right. Let's see what this is about. Oh, this is disappointing.
Do we know if those cameras are really expensive?
I asked my sister because I asked her if she was going to buy him a new one. I think they're only like $100.
Yeah,
like, not that bad.
Yeah, and I guess you maybe assume that that's going to happen.
Yeah, they're somewhat disposable. I think when you're that kind of when you're living that life.
Hey guys, can I tell you a story?
Another bear story.
I'm going to read it directly from The Independent. No, Hannah, this is a dog story. When Sue Yun bought her family a puppy 2 years ago, she was surprised by how much the dog ate. Quote, a box of fruits and two buckets of noodles every day, she told Chinese media.
Okay, that makes
there
sense.
Was it. There was, it turns out, a reason for this prodigious appetite. The animal has grown into a 250-pound bear. This family in China thought they had a dog And it turns out it was a bear. The family realized their error when the pet did not stop growling and started showing a talent for walking on two legs.
That's
just adorable.
The fact that it had even as baby bears, they still don't have dog feet. Mm-hmm. They have bear feet. Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about animals, but I don't feel like I would fall for this. Quote, she says, "The more he grew, the more like a bear he looked," said Ms. Yun, a villager living near the city of Kunming. "I am a little scared of bears." I think that's healthy. By the way, that's me.
They make them that way.
The animal has now been taken to the care of a wildlife rescue center after the family got in touch. Footage taken by officials shows it standing about a meter tall. Staff were so intimidated by the animal, which had lived in the family home, they sedated it before transportation.
Wait, it's only a meter tall, and it weighed 250 pounds?
So that, yeah, because a meter is a little bit more than a yard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 3 inches more than a yard.
Okay.
We're measuring in yards for some reason. Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to... What's the closest thing you can compare
like
a meter
feet.
To?
Yeah,
okay,
3 feet.
Yeah, 3 feet. All right, yeah, yeah. It has been identified as an endangered Asiatic black bear, which would fetch thousands of pounds if sold on the black market. What? Why are you throwing that in here, independent.co.uk?
Maybe because it's weird that someone would sell it as a puppy if it's that
oh,
valuable.
Oh, I see, yeah.
That, like, it's especially, like, in China where you can get a puppy for, like someone will pay you to take a puppy away from them.
They thought it was a mastiff when they bought it on holiday in 2016.
They thought it was a mastiff? I mean, I guess that makes sense for this. Wait,
in
on holiday?
You,
where were they?
In case you didn't believe that I was reading from the independent.co.uk, they
on
were
holiday.
On holiday. I don't know where they were
where
on holiday.
Where were they vacationing?
Where were they holidaying?
Yes.
It does not say. It does not say. Okay, this is my last dazzling detail, and then we'll move on. In March, local media reported how a man, also from Yunnan province, had raised a bear after finding it roaming in the forest and initially believed it to be a stray dog. He kept it in a cage.
Are the dogs in this
These
area
guys were
just like very large or what?
I mean, a mastiff, yes. I guess, but it doesn't look like... A mastiff is the dog
Head
in the sandlot.
Yeah.
I also...
Way different.
Do people in China not know what dogs look like?
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, that's very racist of you to say.
I know.
But, sorry, I'm distracted now. I'm just reading the comments.
I just am very confused at how many people are mistaking bears for dogs.
Yeah.
Like, two seems like a lot.
Two is a lot.
Two is a lot.
Yeah, shit gets racist in the comments. Let's just close
oh,
this
I'm,
out.
Oh, I'm... Yeah.
Let's just... Never read the comments.
Let's just close
I would, actually... I'd be interested
out.
To see how, like, Chinese media covered it, because I feel like there might be details then that we're missing, too.
It was probably, like, a really small story.
I'm sure it was, like a total...
Lady raises bear.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like a kicker at the end of an hour.
Yeah. It's, like, on the 6th, just, like, to be funny. And then the Independent's, like...
Picking that
oh,
one
them.
Up.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something here, guys.
Another bear story?
Nope. I'm looking for this.
Hot dog. AMPM with mustard on the bun. Two hot dogs. Just 89 cents. AMPM is the one. Say it. Hot dogs. Hot dogs. Oh, say it one more time.
I'm sorry, hot bear.
When you buy the dogs, get a 12-ounce coke with just a one.
It was a hot
dog.
Bear.
So when you get that special taste, remember AMPM is the place. You want it? We got it. AMPM Mini Markets.
I didn't realize how unproduced the show was. I got up really early today, had the show down. You guys didn't show up until 3, when we decided we would do the show. I had hours. When you guys showed up, I was outside on my roof trying to glue an old pair of shoes
back
together.
Yeah, wait, can you explain to me what was happening with the shoes?
I have these shoes that I really like. And when I buy shoes, I go to, like, the cheapest stores possible. Like, I go to... What's the one that's at Northgate Mall, but it's outside? It's like SVU.
Oh,
the criminal.
DSW.
DSW. Right.
Law and Order DSW.
Law and Order DSW. So I go there first, and that's
it's
kind of
just shoe crimes.
That does not go with that pant.
Shoe crimes
Fashion police
against
show up.
Humanity. Somebody write down
so
shoe
great.
Crimes against humanity. All right. So anyway, when I buy shoes, I buy really kind of inexpensive ones, which means usually they're either at the end of their run or like these shoes are Tommy Hilfiger. Is that how you say it? Or
yep,
figure?
You got it.
Okay, figure, Tommy Hilfiger brand, which I like, and that sounds fancy, but I bought them for like $40 or $45 or something. So they're usually
such a maxinista.
What does that mean? Oh, TJ Maxx. You get the Hannah max for it. The minimum yeah. price. And so what ends up happening is I have shoes that I love at first, but then they fall apart pretty quickly. And then if I love
probably
them,
probably because it costs $40.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I want to replace them.
They probably
can't
don't
find
make them anymore.
Yeah. So this pair I bought on a whim, and then I was wearing them, and they're starting to fall apart, but I get tons of compliments on them. They're just like kind of sneakers, kind of like throwback looking sneakers. And so two things happen. First of all, these are getting a little bit worn out and dirty. So I washed them this weekend, and I noticed that the toe was coming off, kind of like the rubber was peeling away. So I thought we have this stuff called Gorilla Glue. You guys know about Gorilla Glue, yes. right? I was done with my work. I thought I had the show all produced. I thought I had all my sounders. It turns out I didn't. That's where all this is coming back to.
I still can't believe you didn't have a bear sounder.
I know,
I cannot
Hannah.
Believe.
I know. That's what I feel very embarrassed about this whole show.
Embarrassed?
It was worth not having a sounder just so we could get there. So anyway, I was outside trying to fix this pair of shoes. By the way, you know what? I'm just going to do this. I also spent a chunk of this weekend looking for the exact same pair of shoes online. I wear a size 13, so it's also, even if I can find the shoe, that's kind of a rare size. 13s are okay, 14s you can't find. But I will, well, I don't have to show you. I did find a replacement pair.
The same shoe?
So I have the same shoe untouched in my closet, other side of that door, that I had shipped to me from God knows where. I hope it's not a bear. I think it's
probably Yunnan, China.
Yeah, yes. give it a little while before it gets big. And, you know.
And then yesterday,
if they growl, you know.
I'll just keep them under my child's bed. I was helping a friend who had an issue with his small sailboat yesterday. Nick, you got the call too, but you couldn't help out.
I did.
That sounds like a euphemism, but do go on.
It was. Oh my God, you're right. It was a total ED commercial. It was me and Tom Wassel trying
metaphor.
To get the sail up on his. What do you call those little Hobie sailboat?
A schooner.
Yeah, a little schooner.
Couldn't
so we're
get
out
the
there.
Sail up on your schooner.
That sounds like a euphemism. Sail up on a schooner. And I had rushed over there from some other event. So anyway, my feet. I came back. I was soaking wet. My pants were wet. The shoes were wet.
Did you get the sail up though?
Yeah, we actually fixed Oh man, we were going to give up on that so many times, but we just kept working on it. Turns out love solves everything. So now I have two pairs of shoes, and I thought if I can salvage the other ones, throw them in the washing machine, glue them up, those will be good for another couple of months, and then I'll have my reserves. But while they cleaned up nicely, unfortunately, putting them in the washing machine exacerbated the issue with the rubber coming off, and also they have a bunch of little frays all over the place. So when you guys showed up here, I was out there with glue sticky hands and a tiny little like nose hair.
Yeah.
Pair of scissors.
What I saw was a man holding a sneaker and tiny scissors on a roof. That's what I saw.
I thought you were working on an art project or something.
I was just trying to cut the little thingies off it. Anyway.
Take them to a cobbler.
And that is why I didn't have any hot dog related sounds.
Got
I had
it.
No bear related sounds.
Got
I thought
it.
I had this show on lock today. Like, honestly, I thought, like, this is it. I'm prepared. There's nothing more I could possibly do to make this show good. And it turns out there was a lot I could do to make the show good, including asking Luke to join us. All right. Before we... Well, I played the hot dog sound. We got to talk about the hot dog story.
Let's do hot dogs.
Warren, you sound really fed up with me right
no,
now.
No,
Hannah.
No.
Let's do hot dogs.
I actually, here's the thing. I have my own shoe. I had a shoe adventure last week as well.
A shoe adventure? All right. Well, tell me.
So I have very small feet. I run the opposite direction. I have size five and a half. And I was in Spokane to talk to some college students, and I realized that I only wore my, like, flying on the plane shoes, which are just, like, my kids' slip-ons.
But are they somewhat fashionable? Like, you're not crocking it up.
No, I have self-respect. But I was like, I'm talking to some youths. I was like, I want to look cool. And so I was like, I should have brought my other flats. And so I went to four different stores before I could find a pair of shoes in my size.
Dang.
I know.
That's a lot of stores.
What did you end up getting?
I got some, like, Dr. Scholl's, like, boots, like, little black booties that are technically a size 6, but because they zip up, like, they fit on my feet okay. And they're a little big, but they'll be okay if I wear them with socks. But it was like I was strolling around a mini mall in Spokane on foot. And by the way, Spokane is not particularly pedestrian friendly. There's literally no sidewalk. And I'm like, and then there's like a mini mall. So I was like, ugh. I went to a Famous Footwear. I went to a Payless Shoes. I went to a Target. And I went to DSW, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. The shoe crime was that they didn't have any available.
The shoe crime was my joke. But let's talk about the little boots for a second. So I'm assuming that these are shoes that probably go up just above your ankle, probably,
yep.
right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Obviously, you've been very popular for a while now, for a couple of years. What I'm seeing here is also pants are getting shorter and shorter,
yes.
right? The style, those are not unrelated, right? Did the shoes influence the pants? Like, people are getting these nice shoes that are little booties, and now the pants makers are like, well, let's show off the booties.
I think that that's probably true because I know people have been rolling their pants to show
yes,
off the booty for a long
time. Right.
Which is fun for me because I already roll my pants to make them a regular length until...
You're more of a kind of a Pippi Longstocking.
Yeah, like I look...
No, that's stockings. Well, who's the... Who's isn't there some orphan who rolls up her pants? Never
me.
Mind.
It's, her name is Hannah.
It's you.
It's me. I look like Huck Finn is what I look
okay,
like.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Until American Eagle rolled out the extra short pant, which by the way, if any of our listeners are extremely petite as I am, American Eagle now sells an extra short length, and it's the only jeans I've ever been able to wear that actually hit me at a regular
That's
place.
A great tip.
Yeah, yeah. Extra short.
But what if you want to go into the style of having short pants? You're screwed.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
I guess you got to get that tailored. But you guys agree that I mean, just like back me up.
Yeah, no,
theory?
I think you're right. I'd actually honestly never thought about it, and I think you're probably correct.
Got a lot of theories. Got a lot of theories about a lot of things.
Well, you could be on the fashion police then and go to the shoe crimes.
Good. They would lock me up. All right. I want to talk about hot dogs here for a second. I mentioned to you that there is a hot dog place. Have you looked this up?
I emailed
both of you guys. This was actually brought to my attention by listener Amelia, who posted this to the Stens page. There is a small restaurant up in Bellingham where, of course, Luke lives, the Bay City. I am looking at... the actual Craigslist ad.
Of course they put it on Craigslist.
And no, by the way,
in Bellingham, of course they did. It used to be in Bellingham that the rants and raves section was literally just people it was a comment section basically, and people would respond to each other on rants and raves. There was an ongoing fight
so much
about the passing lane at one point, and people who were like, "If you want to drive fast, do it somewhere else. I'm going to drive in the passing lane as fast as I want to go."
I want to go the speed limit.
Yes.
It's not a license to speed.
Oh, it was awful.
I think we actually talked about that last time.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm not surprised because this is exactly what this is extremely Bellingham.
I'm going to read to you the description of this on Craigslist. Small restaurant / drive-through for sale, $18,000. It's at Barclay in Orleans. Well-established business, 12 years old, for sale.
Here's the thing, I was living in Bellingham as a very poor person 12 years ago, and I've never heard of this place, so I'm just going to say well-established is maybe a stretch, but that's amazing. Just putting out, that's anecdotal evidence. That's all.
They're saying
I've never heard of it also.
I believe it doesn't say this in here, but based on the pictures, I don't believe there is an inside. I believe this building might actually be like a Wiener Schnitzel, or maybe it's pronounced Wiener Schnitzel, the hot dog chain that is, I used to go to it in L.A., and it's like a drive-through only kind of situation. Outdoor seating restaurant, takeout, delivery, and drive-through is busy. Have to negotiate a lease at least 3 years. What does that mean? They're selling the business, the building?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not actually the building. It's just the business.
Look at this.
But you get all the stuff. So it says
includes
a hood, 2 fryers, gas stove, fridge, and an espresso machine and an ice machine. Honestly, I'm doing the math on an espresso machine, an ice machine, and 3 fridges.
You're getting
and
near
I'm like,
there anyway, right?
Yeah. Like, if you were just to liquidate, I feel like you could get about as much.
Quick aside, because I am going somewhere with this counselor, but quick aside, I went to a restaurant today that has fascinated me here in my new neighborhood, which is... the Euro Espresso Shop. Have you guys seen that on 65th, like right near the highway there? There's a place called, I believe, The Bus Stop.
Yes.
It's near a bus stop. And they specialize in, it's a coffee shop that is also a Euro shop.
Nice.
And I've been dying to try it. I tried it today. It was pretty good. Too much tzatziki sauce. Am I saying that correctly?
Not a complaint I've ever made, but with your weird cheese stuff, that doesn't surprise
me. Yeah, it was
me.
Way too creamy, and but I think other people would be fine with it next time
yes.
I go with it. Usually when I order a gyro now, I say go light on the sauce. I didn't say it this time. I wanted
you
just
should
to
be probably sauce
was.
On the siding, if we're honest. I'm just giving you a life tip. Sauce on the side for you.
Oh, wait. Another quick aside on this. Damn it. I want to come back to this hot dog thing. But when I was in there, there was a bunch of things you could get on the side, like side dishes, like dolmates. But also things you could put on it. And one of them said hot sauce for 50 cents. Now, when I get a gyro, and I don't think this is very common, it might be weird, but I like to shake a little, whether it's Tapatio on there or even just Tabasco sauce. I like to put that on my gyro. Light on the tzatziki, a little bit of hot sauce. I know, I see your face. It's not for everybody, but I like it.
I just, it's literally never occurred to me.
No. But then today, I got it and it was in front of me. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to get some of that hot sauce. And I was looking around the restaurant for some, you know, just some hot sauce on a table. And then I remembered, oh, it said 50 cents extra. And I looked around and I spotted some Tabasco sauce, but it was behind the counter.
What?
And I almost went up and asked, well, can I see some of that Tabasco? Yeah. But I'm like, do I have to order that in advance and pay the 50 cents? And I just didn't want a confrontation.
That's a grift. That's maybe,
that also does not sound like a confrontation.
I know. And also the woman behind the counter could not have been nicer. Like, it wouldn't have been a confrontation. Like, she was calling me honey the second I walked in there.
Also, I mean,
she's also younger than me. That's weird.
You live around the corner, too. You could just walk at home to
I wanted to eat it there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Get the full
experience. Yeah. But it was pretty good. I would recommend. Okay, so back to this hot dog place.
I like that because I, too, have been fascinated by that place. Yeah, I've driven by that place so many times. I've been like, what is that about?
It's a weird combination of things, right?
It's an odd spot. The building is strange, right? Because it's like it looks like a coffee drive-through almost, like, because it's kind of like on an island, like by itself. Am I remembering this?
Yeah, yeah. Nope, you're absolutely right about that. Sorry, I'm distracted. I sent myself the wrong link here.
What have you done?
What I wanted to do is share with you guys. I read you the Craigslist ad for this place. What is it? It's called Neener. It doesn't say it in the ad, but we know that it's called Neener. Neener.
Wiener.
And yeah. I'm going to have to look it up on Yelp again because I was interested in what the reputation of this hot dog place in Bellingham is. And I think we're starting to get some answers to, like, this was it well established or not situation. This was a comment left about a month ago. It says, this season, 2018, they have new owners. Seems like they will have extended hours until 8 p.m. on weekdays. Same quality, same price, same menu. It's a big old hot dog, nothing fancy. They have tater tots. New people are very nice. That was left in at the end of April. That was just left a couple of days ago. That was left 2 weeks ago.
Is the place still for sale? How old is that Craigslist ad?
The Craigslist ad is only a month old, though. It says posted a month ago.
Huh.
So my thought... Okay, so, okay, just take all of that in for a second.
Okay. Yeah.
Now,
okay,
let me read you some of these two-star reviews. This is from Bria, who lives in Seattle. On one hand, the food is delicious. I usually order chili cheese fries and a corny dog with cream cheese to share with my fiance. The food is always delicious.
Interesting order.
Interesting order, and I love the dazzling details.
That's great.
Yeah.
She didn't to share, but to share with her fiance.
Yelp is really into the added detail. Like, you always get too much information from Yelp.
You can't get too much information. On the other hand, I have also been trying to come here and eat for almost a month now. I live about an hour south of Bellingham, so making the trek up here is not the easiest. I have tried to eat here 4 separate times, and each time they are closed. I have tried to come on Tuesday around. Now, this is where you get into too much detail.
I told you.
Break it
every
down
time.
For me, Bree.
I have tried to come on a Tuesday around noon a few times, Monday around noon, and now today I'm here on a Friday at 11:30, and they're still not open. I've gone up to look for any sort of hint of what their hours are, because obviously the hours here on Yelp are inaccurate.
Wait, why
and
is
there's
she
no
so
sign,
hardcore
nothing.
About getting to this hot dog? But I can't understand.
As a hot dog lover, I mean, if you find a place you love,
no,
I understand locking
thing.
Into it.
I went to Bellingham recently solely to eat a burrito. Oh. So I get it. But
and that's like a 3-hour drive from around here, right?
Bellingham? No, it's about an hour and a half.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So yeah, she lives in Seattle.
Yeah, she lives in
you
Seattle.
You live on the north side?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. No, if you were in South Seattle, that's true. That's true. That's true. Yeah, if you were in South Seattle, it could be a 3-hour drive. Especially depending on when you go. No. Especially when you, yeah, depending on, like, if you left at 4, you would be in traffic. I just can't imagine driving all the way to Bellingham to try something I had not tried 4 separate times.
Well, I think that she's had it before. So apparently she went there one time. She said, I usually order the chili cheese fries and the corny dog. So it sounds like she's locked into this place. She probably stumbled on it at one point.
It sounds
maybe went back. Seriously, I really want to love this place. I want to love you, but I don't think you know how to love. but it is super frustrating to drive an hour up north specifically to eat here before work, only to be disappointed, which raises more questions.
Apparently,
she's doing this before work.
Does she work in Bellingham?
I don't think so. I think she's making the drive up and the back down.
Not worth
Bria,
it.
Bria, I have so many questions. So Bria says 5 stars for food, 3 stars for the whole, quote, never open thing.
Wait,
owners,
stars for never open? I would say that's a never star. Open.
That is so. She ended up with 2 here. Owners, if you are reading this, please fix your hours so they are accurate. And then she came back, update, my fiancé was there around 3 p.m. And he told me they still did not open. Okay, not the only person with that problem. Was excited to eat here for the first time today, says Stacy L., who's in Blaine, Washington. Nothing ever happens in Blaine.
No.
Chairs are for fools.
I once went to a 6th grade math Olympiad competition in Blaine.
Really? That's as close
only
to
time
Canada
I've ever
as you
been
can
there.
Get, right, without being in Canada.
But not your only mathlete event, I assume?
Actually, it was the only one of those as well.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't stick with the mathletics?
No. I changed schools too many times.
Oh, yeah. See? It's that Navy thing again.
I'm having a thought.
Okay.
I'm gonna finish reading Stacy's thing here, but
is it a drug front?
What are you guys,
probably?
What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? Like, do you guys have to get out of
I'm
here?
I'm not going to Bellingham today.
No. I'm not doing that. Do you guys have to get out of here at any time?
I have to be somewhere at 6.
Okay, it's 4. I'm wondering, do you guys have any interest in talking about this whole Cano's broken hand, the Mariners?
Yes, I mean, yes, obviously.
Okay, let's get through this.
I didn't
we
know
might
it was
do,
broken.
We might do a special
oh, sorry
no point
to break this
thing.
To you.
We're gonna,
right
yeah.
Now.
Somebody on Twitter today was, it's not broken, it's fractured.
That's what broken is.
Was it some asshole on baseball Twitter? Because
yes. Blah. My Twitter is now almost all baseball Twitter, because I thought that would be a happy place
I'm
for me.
I'm sorry for you.
No.
It's not great. Still better than political Twitter. Was excited to eat here for the first time today. Showed up at 3:30, just after a carload of at least 4 people in front of us. Went around to the back to look at the menu because they were crowded around the front menu. And when we came back around the other car was gone, and she was locking up. This was about 3:35 or 3:40.
Oh my God.
Like she was ready to leave. I asked what the hours were, and she said Sunday until 4. Hello, says Stacy L. They had at least 6 people wanting to buy food, and she was locked up and ready to go at 3:30. Bad for business, I'd say. Don't rely on the hours of this operation.
Bad. My favorite thing about Yelp is that, like, the people always sound like they like really have like advice for business owners.
Mm-hmm.
They're things
yeah.
like, it's bad for business to not be open when you say you're open.
They have a point though. It is bad for business. Anyway,
yes.
There were some other ones like that as well. I will stop reading Yelp now, but here's my theory. You mentioned like maybe these new owners were the ones who just bought it a month ago.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I bet you, because let's see, when was this last, when did Stacy write this? Stacy wrote this way back in February of 2011. My guess is somebody bought this thing, not the original owners, gave it a go, clearly did not know how to run a restaurant, and now they're just trying to bail on it.
My concern
is 2011, though.
My concern is that, yeah, it's been open apparently for 12 years. So, like, it might have had multiple owners
yeah.
this time. My issue is if there's nowhere actually to sit, it's just, like, takeout and delivery.
Or sit outside.
Or
on the
sit outside.
Tables, yeah.
Which and is, you're making
works in
hot
LA.
Dogs.
Yeah.
But like, of all the businesses you could run, and I spent a lot of time working in food service, so I'm not telling anyone how to like do their thing, but I feel like a hot dog business wherein you do not have an eating area
mm-hmm.
is really minimal.
What do you mean? You don't think that a hot dog is a very casual food? I think it's
yes,
like,
it's like not that hard. Like it,
oh,
like,
you're saying it's easy
no,
to
you
do.
You need like
yeah.
one person working,
oh, right?
Like
yeah,
how
yeah,
many
yeah.
people do you need working?
Right. No, I'm
you
with
maybe
you.
one on the register and one making the dogs and maybe one person running the fryer. Like, and from the pictures it looks like it's probably kind of like a 2-butt kitchen. So mm-hmm. I just the idea that someone would get into it and then be like, this is too difficult, is really. It's startling to me.
Well, this is where we come in. And this is my big question for you guys. I guess my question is, how much money do you have?
I think I could, if we put up a Kickstarter that was like, help the 3 of us buy a hot dog mm-hmm. stand in Bellingham, I think there's a potential that we could get some action. However, it is, so the area that it is like kind of far. It's like not close downtown at all. It's like far outside. You definitely have to like drive there. A lot of people
are driving up from Seattle.
Well, apparently so, but like a lot of people, like your home clientele, a lot of people in Bellingham don't drive. Like a lot of the college students don't drive, and so you are going to face some stiff competition with like the more centrally located places. Also, they said they extended the hours till 8 p.m. on weekdays. Like, you're going to have to be open later than 8 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
When do people want hot dogs?
Yeah, when they're stoned.
1 a.m.
Yeah. Let's talk about branding. What do we call it? Do we keep Neener Neener Wiener?
No.
Too negative.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I think it's too negative. Yeah. Oh. I don't like it. Sounds like something you'd order at, like, Red Robin.
Yeah.
How about Wiener 99? No?
No.
Just spitballing here.
Like no. Although I do like the restaurants that have, like, a random number on them.
Yeah.
Like, teriyaki.
Oh, yeah.
102 or something.
L.A. has a lot of places yes. like that. Just like these places, just like, yeah, yeah. You can get a pastrami sandwich, a burrito, teriyaki,
yep,
whatever
uh-huh.
you want, yep. and it's just, like, called 51.
Yeah.
You know. Yep. Foodstuff 99.
Yeah, yep. and it's on Pico. And it's next to 41. All right.
And you take the 5 to the 101 to get there.
On your mark.
On your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
Now ready.
Ready.
Go.
Everybody
rattle, dazzle. Everybody rattle, dazzle.
All right. We are thinking our dazzling donors this time of year, the people who went far above and far beyond in supporting TBTL during our TBTL-a-thon and making this show happen. No joke. In all sincerity, this show does not happen without donors like you. And donors like Barbara West of San Jose, California, who I believe used to go by San Jose Barbie. Maybe she still does. I don't know where she went by that, but I remember distinctly knowing her as San Jose Barbie. And okay. that was her. So I'm calling you San Jose Barbie.
Great name.
Yeah. And I think when our friend Emily at American Public Media sent out a form asking our dazzling donors, what do you want your special message to be? Because for a dazzling donor, we can promote a business. I think that's legal. We can give a shout out to family members, whatever. We can read whatever you want us to say. But I think that the call for action when Emily sent it out said, anything you want Luke and Andrew to say or read, it could even be a haiku or something like that. Okay. Well, as far as I know, San Jose Barbie is the only person who actually did want to write a haiku for us. She okay. says, I'm writing cool. a haiku because I love them and I'm lazy. Here it is. I don't think writing a haiku shows that you're lazy, by the way. That seems
I mean,
like
you
a
have
false...
to count syllables. That's work.
That seems like more work than just not counting syllables.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah. So here is her haiku. I'm going to kill the music. Lucals and Andrew, please don't ever again play American Pie. We played American Pie by Don McLean over and over and over and over and over and over again during the TBTL 24-hour show, and most listeners loved it. I mean, nobody had any problem
really?
With that whatsoever. Oh, people just
San
loved
Jose
it.
San Jose Barbie, though,
they
not
They just wanted
it.
To hear it more and more. If anything, I was flooded with emails just saying, Andrew, that song won't stick in my head. How can you get that song to stick in my head? Because I want to hear it more and I want to
well,
enjoy it
Well, so then you played
the
Madonna the version, right? Because obviously...
Is that a thing?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, really?
Madonna.
Bye bye, Miss American Pie?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Google it.
Google it.
Well, here's the deal. I'm in
YouTube,
a crossroad
I'm sure.
here.
Oh, yeah. Also, sorry, Barbara.
Yeah, if you guys know this show at all, when somebody asks us not to do something, we always do it. Sometimes it's just out of fun. Sometimes it's out of malice. But, of course, we do that. That's how we react. But San Jose Barbie is a dazzling donor. Like, this is the one time where I really feel like my hands are tied. I cannot throw this back in her face.
Yeah.
And it is killing me. It is killing me. All
you're showing
I want
so much
do,
restraint right now. I just want to validate the restraint that you're showing.
I want to play it. Do you think that... I mean, she says, please don't ever again play American Pie. She points out that's the perfect 575. Do you think that she only means the Don McLean version?
Yes.
So you think that we could play the Madonna version and she would like
no,
it?
No, I know. I'm.
Do you
I
think mean, she said be... that jokingly? She's like, wink, wink, don't ever do it again. I hated it.
No, I think people really hated okay. it. I created a special remix of the song because we needed some extra time in between
oh, no.
like hours. So I like looped part of the middle of it. And when listeners
oh,
found out
God.
That I was like looping American Pie, they weren't super psyched about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Why did you play that song so much? You just needed a
yeah,
because
it was a 24-hour thing. So an American Pie is in TBTL lore. We use that as a measurement of time. When we go on and it's a story so long, we'll be like, oh my God, that took me 7 American Pies to get through.
Oh.
So we thought it'd be funny and also useful to have American Pie right. end every single episode of our 24-hour marathon extravaganza. Oh,
okay. It's like when if you ever hear like Sugar Hill Gang on the radio, it's because the DJ had to pee.
That sounds right. Yeah. I didn't know that that was a thing, but that makes total sense.
It's long enough that you can get down the hall. Yeah.
And Apache, too, I think is super long. Like all those hip-hop songs from back in the day, it's just like, oh, my God. I appreciate your role in history, but can I not listen to them anymore? Like, do you guys enjoy them? Do you guys get a kick out of them?
I don't really listen to the radio anymore.
Yeah. But, I mean, would you put that on Spotify? Like,
no,
any of that
never.
Super old-school
I mean, like, some of that I will, but definitely not the songs that are 12 minutes long. We were at a wedding recently, and the DJ started to play it, and I was like, I sincerely hope he is not playing this song all the way through. Like, if we have to get to the part where the chicken is dry, like, this is going to be
But what did it taste like, Hannah? What did it taste like?
Wood. He faded it out.
Did he fade it out?
He faded it out mercifully. But I was just like, gosh, that's a real...
Maybe that was a test.
Just to see,
just
like,
to see what the reaction was.
Are people paying attention?
I mean, that wedding was 100% white people. So, like, it was just... It was definitely a lot of just, like... The listeners can't see me, but I'm doing...
So it's definitely a test.
Yeah, I'm doing an unfortunate dance.
All right. Barbara in San Jose, I want you to know I am looking right now at the still shot of Madonna's American Pie official music video. I want to hit play on it so bad. I'm not joking. Like I feel like every fiber of my being right now just wants to hit this big triangle play button, but I'm not doing that because you are special to me, and we appreciate the show is special to you. I'm not promising that we're never going to play American Pie again. I'm not even promising that I'm not going to drive down to San Jose and hold up a boombox and play it outside your window. But today, on the 14th of May, 2018, this is your day. And if you don't want to hear American Pie, whether it's by Don McLean or Madonna, so be it. Thank you so much for making TBTL possible. All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL? The newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man. It's not from a female.
Oh, no, I'm playing the wrong one. God damn it.
What happened there?
This is what we play when we have...
Tapping my nose.
It's called...
Cut it.
That is when we have an email frenzy and we have a whole bunch to get through. We play that AC/DC.
Can we do a frenzy anyway?
Isn't this so much more relaxing, though? Don't you just feel like you just stepped into a nice, cool pool?
I always feel like I'm going to get murdered. This song, it sounds to me like a horror movie song.
Do you know what it is?
Doogie Howser.
It's Doogie Howser.
Oh, I never watched Doogie Howser.
This is the music they
it
would play.
It sounds to me like
the,
music from like Stranger Things every time I hear it.
It definitely is like got that kind of minor thing going on. I want to read you guys a couple of emails that I got. By the way, gang, I have not checked the voicemail line in like 2 weeks, so I will do that tomorrow. If you've left a voicemail and you're wondering why I haven't played it, it's because I have been gluing my shoes on the porch. Last week,
not
we were
euphemism.
Talking. I've also been helping Tom get his sale up. We were talking about teacher appreciation last week, and I got this really sweet note from Lisa, who I believe posted this on the Sten's Facebook page. She says, "Here's my favorite teacher story. I was always a good student, but in fifth grade, I got distracted by all the things fifth grade girls get distracted with, and I brought home a C in my math on my midterm report card. My folks put me on restriction and said if I brought it up to a B by the end of the grading period, I would be off restriction. Now, I'd always wanted a kitten, so I asked if I could also get a kitten. That's when my dad made this fatal mistake. Quote, if you bring it up to an A, then you can get a kitten. I went to class early the next day, and I told my teacher, Mrs. Lopez. She smiled and said, let's get you that kitten. She tutored me and gave me extra credit work. I'll never forget walking home from school that spring day with an A in math on my report card. I think she must have warned my folks because they'd already found a family with a litter, and we went that evening. I picked out a calico, and I named her Shasta. She was the first of many cats I've ever had the pleasure of sharing my life with. Thanks to all the Mrs. Lopez's in the world.
Oh, that's awesome. Mrs. Lopez!
That's really cool.
Is that not awesome? Let's get you that cat.
That's so cute.
I love that story.
I love that.
It's a beautiful story. I'm going to read you two more emails, and then we've been doing this for an hour and a half. I feel like it's torture to keep you guys in this hot room to talk about baseball. I'll let you guys make the decision. Take a couple of minutes to think about it. Meantime, Luke and I were talking a lot about finding money on the ground last week, whether it's okay to keep it at what, like, if you find $500, do you have to turn it in? You know, like,
anything more than 20 isn't okay.
Is not okay?
Oh,
not okay.
Really?
Oh, good Lord, man.
Really?
You find a $50 bill? Like, people don't make that in an hour. Like, someone had to put in some work to get a $50 bill.
Yeah, but where did you find it? In a parking lot? What are you going to do with it?
I'll turn it in somewhere.
I found $250 on the ground, $260 on the ground one time, just like on a sidewalk in First Hill, and it was 100% drug money. So I kept it.
My girl.
But I did I did donate $50 of it to Planned Parenthood.
Nice. God damn perfect. Yes. That's I am of that school.
Clearly most, drug money.
I think our listeners are a lot on your side, Nick.
Probably.
That, you know, but because if it is drug money, then they say give it to the kids.
I was so poor at the time. I literally had $60 in my checking account and I was like, someone's watching out for me.
Right.
Also, I have definitely like lost large sums of money. And so I was like, it's my time.
It comes around. okay, so I got two stories about finding money. This is from Jill in Boston, a boss 10. When my husband and I lived in Chicago, we'd find so much change on the streets that we realized we were making more money picking it up than we were in our savings accounts, thanks to the super low interest rates. We just started calling the streets the bank of the streets of the city of Chicago, and anytime we'd find something,
we'd say,
the bank paid today. We found out that there are banks of the streets in whatever town we live in. I consider the money we find interest for whatever crap we've had to put up with by living there. P.S. If you live in a place where you get lots of snow, the bank tends to pay out a lot when it melts. Those are great walking days.
Oh, that's a great tip.
That is a great tip.
That's a tip that someone who like lives in New England would definitely give you, too. Like,
yeah, we don't have that here.
No. Like, go walk about when it melts.
Yeah.
Well, that's like places that have like reservoirs or sort of, you know, water that goes up and down. There's a reservoir near where I lived as a kid, and my parents used to take us on like the drain day. Or like 2 days after, to go look for like watches and stuff that had fallen in the lake.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to tell this story in any way that it makes sense, but that's never stopped me before.
Here we go.
everybody drink.
I wish I had a... I wish I could crack something like...
You know what I heard the other day? I mean, it didn't hurt my feelings, but it made me think. I mentioned to you guys before the show that I filled in on a shift I don't usually fill in on... at Cairo Radio on Friday. It was a last-minute fill-in. They asked me if I'd fill in on the morning show. It's the 9 to noon show, which I very rarely do. But they had a producer who was filling in that day, and I must have worked with him before on other shows. And we did 3 hours of hot talk radio. It was, had its moments, some good, some not.
It had its pretzel parts and its brown things parts.
That was such a good callback.
And after the show, we're wrapping up, and the producer, whose name is Andrew, said to me, oh, just got a text message. Oh, there's Andrew mentioning his girlfriend again. And then he said to me, yeah, I have a drinking game. This is the producer talking here, not the listener. The drinking game is drink every time Andrew mentions his girlfriend on the air. And I realize I must just, like, always, all like every story I have ends up being either Genevieve's story that I'm retelling or just somehow connected to Genevieve. And I'm just wondering if I'm just being a little pathetic. Am I living my life through Genevieve on the
air? I would
talk
about Genevieve nonstop too.
Right?
She's my girlfriend.
She's a special
person. Your girlfriend's dope.
Yeah, she's amazing.
No, your girlfriend is rad. Anybody who doesn't want to hear more about her probably doesn't realize how great she is, so they can shove it.
The problem is it is filtered through me. And so maybe that's kind of like the listeners are just kind of like, oh.
Well, you got to work on your glow up then.
I got to work on some things. Okay. I like this story, although, I don't want to spoil it. This is from Nathalie. She says, this is a good story, I think.
In January, a woman after your own heart.
Yes. In January of 2013, I was finishing up a holiday vacation in Hawaii and was spending the last few days in Honolulu. One morning, I went to the downstairs lobby of the hotel I was staying at, and on the ground, I found a $100 bill. I looked around, and no one seemed to have lost anything. And if I remember correctly, I think someone saw me and said, "I guess it's yours," or something to that effect. About a week later, I was back home in Portland, and I told my mom on the phone, who lives in Quebec, about the find. She said it was my lucky money, quote-unquote my lucky money, and that I needed to buy a lottery ticket with it. So I went to my local Fred Meyer to purchase the ticket. I used the big automated lottery machine. I made a selection of $10 for a $10 ticket, and to my horror, I then read the message that appeared on the side of the machine that said, "This lottery dispenser does not give change." She put the whole hundo in there. She didn't just like symbolically like take the hundo. She used the hundo, which I understand. Like, that's your lucky money.
Oh, it became unlucky money so fast.
I talked to the customer service guy, and I said he told me there was nothing I could do. Lo and behold, I ended up buying $100 worth of lottery tickets that my boyfriend and I spent 30 minutes scratching that night. And?
Oh, so they were scratch tickets.
I didn't win a thing.
Oh.
I always remember how that lucky event resulted in a not-so-lucky one, or at least into a valuable lesson, i.e., don't always listen to your mother. That's from Nathalie.
Also, just,
I really didn't think it was going to end that way. I thought that was going to be a happy story. It breaks my damn heart.
Latest piece of evidence that the lottery is there to keep poor people poor.
Yeah. Like,
it doesn't give change?
It
doesn't give change. But it does accept $100 bills. That's, what kind of machine is that?
And the fact that it doesn't tell you, it should, literally, the only thing you should be able to see on the front is no change.
Yeah, no change machine.
No, you're right. That is diabolical. Ridiculous. Oh my gosh.
I so love this. And this is what I count on you guys for doing. Just take a story like this and turn it into a social issue. This is what,
this is why I invite you guys
over. Literally always.
Give me anything.
Yep. I will tie Thanos. It back to taxes. Yep. Yes.
All right, guys. That's all I have. I mean, I'm going to leave it up to you guys. I have baseball on the brain, but I don't know that I have anything really special to
Robinson
say about Zeno
it. Broke his finger. I'm very, very sad about this.
It sucks. They should have won the series.
How much does he make a year? He's their highest paid player, right?
Yes. I'm not sad
he's one
for Robinson
oldest.
Cano. I'm sad,
for
me.
The team. Also, we've been doing really well this year, and I feel really good, and he's been so reliable. And I'm also concerned about Vogelbach back on first base.
I don't think it's going to be Vogelbach.
Didn't they put Vogelbach on first and Ryan Healy on second? Isn't that what they did?
No, they brought up another guy named Gordon. But Gordon is his first name, and I'd never heard of him before.
Apparently, it's one of the most Mariner things I've ever heard, by the way.
I know. It's always who's on first. Like, it's literally always.
I kind of quit following that team, and I turned off even push notifications on my phone for like final scores and stuff. I have no idea what's going on with the Mariners.
Oh, this is their year, man.
Yeah, I've been following them.
What are they best at?
Well, their hitting is finally coming together. Yeah. They've got the batting lineup dialed. So this is just like me, like amateur Hannah talking about baseball.
No, go for it.
Batting lineup is finally dialed in. So we're doing a lot less of that stranding three guys on two outs thing.
Except on Sunday. Fucking furious.
Okay, but it was terrible that we had to do that doubleheader in the first place.
That was on Saturday, though.
I know, but they were exhausted.
Yeah, I suppose.
We
11 hits, 4 runs.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Maybe 12.
They were tired, but the batting lineup is much better than it has been. Also, I love Ryan Healy. I'll stand for Ryan Healy all day long. We have a reliable
Now, do you love Ryan
baseman.
Healy, or are you attracted to Ryan Healy? I have to ask.
No, actually, with Ryan Healy, I love him as a player. Okay. He is not someone I thirst after. He's just a very...
Cano is your boy, though, right?
Well, of course. Cano literally looks like a model. And everybody loves him. Mike Zunino did an AMA, a Reddit AMA. I'm sorry, everybody, for this no-point conversion.
No, it's great.
Zunino did an AMA, and someone asked him, why is it always Robbie at the meeting on the mound, before even Mike will come out? And obviously, usually the catcher comes. And Mike was like, Robinson Cano just loves everybody, and he's really good at talking to pitchers. He's just really good. He just a lot of times really knows what to say. And I was like, but then I was talking to my dad used to play baseball, farm league, basically baseball, and he was a catcher. So I always like to really get his vibe on baseball. And, like, we text about baseball all day long.
Cool.
He is a lifelong Oakland A's fan, so also he knows what it means to just be truly terrible. Also a suffering Raiders fan, so sorry.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard.
Damn.
Oakland. Oakland is tough.
Yeah.
But he was saying that the other thing he thinks Robinson Cano is really good at is being able to communicate with the catcher across the base from second base, that he's, like, really good at being able to, like, watch and basically, like, triangulate information from second base to catcher to pitcher. Which I thought was really interesting.
Did you?
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, this is classic, Andrew, because I can't remember any teams involved or the names of the players, but I think the sport was bowling. No, it was baseball. And this was in Deadspin, I'm going to say, about 2 weeks ago. So there was a runner on second base, and so the pitching team, the team on defense, thought that he was stealing signs. If you have a runner on second base, that runner can sort of see what the catcher is showing the pitcher and then maybe signal that to the batter.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know how you communicate all those things. So
they just yell.
Quickly. Oh, they just yell it?
They'll just
yell, like,
I mean,
fastball?
He's going outside.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
no,
they'll just yell.
So then the actual player playing second base, this chaffed his ass, as my dad would say. Or does he say chapped? I don't know. I'll ask my dad
probably
how
chapped.
He describes his ass. Yeah, I think it's chapped. he starts walking. He starts, like, kind of harassing the runner on second. The second baseman starts walking in the line of sight between the base runner and the guy at home so that he can't see what the signs are and then give them
That's
up.
Really
and everybody was, like, all mad at him, saying, like, no, like, stealing signs is part of baseball. Like, don't get in the way of it. It's like, yeah, but then if that's part of baseball, being a second baseman and being able to walk
then
wherever you think.
Being petty and blocking it out is also part of it.
Yes. If you can, like, I am totally, but also, I don't know if that's because I'm a Nouveau baseball fan, which makes Luke mad when I say that because I've been watching baseball for 8 years. He's like, you're not new to baseball anymore.
No, you're pretty well in it.
But anyway, I like that. I think that is, like, showing a little gumption.
Some gamesmanship.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
not breaking the rules.
Well, this is the thing. When people tell me that baseball is boring, I'm always like, then you're not looking in the right place. Like,
right.
And I'll always invite them, like, come watch a game with me and I'll talk to you about things like framing, things like who's talking to who out in the bases, things like the batting lineup and whether or not it matters. The first time I ever had someone explain the shift to me, I was like, there's an entire 99% Invisible episode about the shift. And, like,
oh,
it's
really? Oh,
fascinating radio.
Ooh, I'll listen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw somebody, I think it was this weekend, there was a screen cap. I mean, it was bizarre.
Far over there? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it was just nuts. Like, somebody, like,
on
did
the,
an extreme...
On the A's, there was one of the A's-Yankees games this weekend. There was literally nobody in left field.
But I'm the nerdiest one here.
No, I will always tell people too. There is nothing that's differently, like, baseball is just a different kind of nerdery. Like,
it's so insular.
Baseball. Do you not like baseball?
I'm off baseball. Here's my main problem with baseball.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, tell me
baseball movies are better than baseball.
Oh, it is the season.
And that's not
up,
true for any other sport.
To queue up
to
the Sandlot, Little Big League.
I just watched Sandlot a couple weeks ago and it was amazing.
Good. It's so good.
I was like, why aren't baseball games this entertaining?
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. The Sandlot? Are you shitting me?
No, it's so... I literally...
Sandlot's amazing. What are you talking about?
I just tried... Is that's
Benny
the, like,
Rodriguez with his PF Flyers?
Come I on. Bought a pair of PF Flyers.
Right?
Yes,
I tried.
I have a pair.
I know
They're
that
dope.
I feel... See, that's the thing. I know I'm wrong about this. Like, I want... Like, I'd heard about that forever. I mean, it's such a cultural touchstone.
Oh, you didn't watch it when you were young.
No.
Oh,
I have no connection to it.
That's no...
So then you watch as an adult, and if you don't have that emotional connection from the youth, it is so bad start to finish. Like, it starts with that narration that just is like...
The narration's really bad.
Holy, it's very bad.
I just turned it off
and
after,
like,
a little bit.
Karen Allen's mom is, like, honestly pretty terrible, and I really love Karen Allen.
And who plays the who plays the stepdad?
Dennis Leary.
Leary, of course,
yeah,
right?
Right. Yeah.
But, oh my gosh, no, I bought a pair of PF Flyers today. I'm like,
really?
So, yeah. But I mean, they're so good. There's also, like, Little Big League obviously is great. Rookie of the Year.
Yeah,
I don't know Rookie of the Year.
Oh, it's the one where he breaks his arm and then he can throw suddenly really well. Mm-hmm. And Gary Busey's in it.
Oh, I love a Busey.
Chet Stedman, the Rocket.
Can I say one thing?
What's the one where Tom Selleck goes to Japan? That one is also, like, so cringeworthy and problematic now, but
that
it's
one's
also
really
hilarious.
Bad. I know. Well, because they tried to... I don't know.
In the same vein
called.
As, like, the Major League movies, you can't watch without seeing, like, a lot of really problematic stuff, but still really funny.
But you're still here for it? Yeah.
Yeah, that, like, whatever that voodoo shit is or whatever.
Yeah,
like that
not
is,
okay.
Bad News Bears. Which is another movie.
Also a good one.
About baseball. Not Never it, seen it all the way through.
One.
It's always
great
on
one.
In bars, and I always see
that
it.
That one's
like,
so good they did it twice.
Yeah.
That's true. Tatum O'Neal's in it.
Hardball.
Little Keanu Reeves, a good Keanu Reeves movie.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. Should I get on?
Good.
Okay. And we still haven't mentioned the most, like, Bull Durham.
Oh, yeah, Bull Durham.
Oh, yeah.
The Natural.
The Natural, yeah.
If you're looking for a baseball,
this is my point. Like, I'd rather watch any of these movies in an actual game of baseball.
If you're looking for a baseball documentary, there's one on Netflix about a minor league team in baseball that was very short lived. That Kurt Russell's dad started.
Oh yeah, Luke talks about that all the time.
Battered Bastards of Baseball. Yeah, it's really good.
Yes,
good documentary.
You know what? Ken Burns should make a baseball documentary. I would watch that.
Does he not have one?
No.
Oh, he does. Like, yeah, I was like, no, he definitely does. I was like, he definitely does.
20 hours long.
Yeah, I was like, no, he definitely does. I've seen it.
I actually had it downloaded on a hard drive. I just recently discovered it. I was like, I'll watch it. Then I was like, no, I'm not going to watch this.
I mean, that I would rather watch baseball.
Yeah, I have MLB TV. Like, I will just watch
There's
a bunch
real
of games in a row.
Current, present games,
No, I've been more into baseball this year than ever before in my life, to the degree that I am now dialing up other teams in the American League West to watch those games.
Well, the AL League also is really interesting this year with the Rangers. Like, because the Rangers just took a dive and they're like way at the bottom.
Yeah, which is nuts. And of course, the Angels are just
the
story
nuts.
In themselves.
I'm sorry.
I mean, the Ohtani thing is crazy.
Also, the fact that the A's are not the bottom of the AL West is frankly shocking.
They're second to last place. Yeah. Are they in fourth place?
Yeah.
Mariners are just going to be stuck there in that third place, I'm afraid. I don't mean to be so negative, and I don't.
Are they
going to
finish like two games short of the playoffs again?
Probably.
Probably.
Okay. Cool.
For the second wild card slot,
yep.
Almost guaranteed.
Almost. Yeah. Without.
Like they have been on a roll. They have been so. This has been the most fun 2 months of baseball I've ever watched.
Yeah.
And I just. After this last series this weekend, I just have the bad feeling. They should have won both of the games they lost. They should have not just won the series, but they should have swept the series.
Yep.
And with this injury, I hope I'm wrong. Oh, by the way, Gordon Beckham is the person that they're bringing up.
Yes. Okay.
So they'll bring him up to play, I believe, second base. So they're not going to shift things all over because there's a chance of moving D. Gordon back to second, but I think they just want to keep him comfortable out.
No, he's so
good.
How
do you feel about that?
So good.
Gordon Beckham sounds like the villain from like Little Giants or something.
Yeah. Like the mean
real
kid.
Real waspy kid. Yeah, yeah. Gordon Beckham.
Oh, yeah, he is. It
played
says right
like,
here.
He is
like,
really waspy?
Yeah. No, he is in that movie.
Played like a young, like Macaulay Culkin when he was still young, and he's just like, eh. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Or Devin Sawa.
So technically that was no point conversion. Do you guys, I gave you note cards at the beginning of the show. What did you write down?
I have I'm a brown thing guy.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
I have Shoe Crimes Against Humanity.
Okay.
Shoe Crimes Against Humanity was my favorite one. I saw Hannah writing that one down, so I was like, I'm not going to write it.
Okay. And then If You Don't Want to Hear American Pie, and then just Ellipses.
Okay.
But that's all I got.
Okay. All right. And Nick, did you write anything down?
All I wrote down was some pretzel parts, some brown things parts. Which Hannah said, and I thought it was great. Really describes the show, but it's a little long.
Yeah. All right. I'm either going to go with that one or the Shoe Crimes Against Humanity, and we'll.
I like to think
that
this
afterwards.
Is a brown thing part. Which one was the good one?
Brown thing. Brown
okay,
things
cool.
parts.
Yeah.
Brown things are always the good ones.
Why don't you guys collaborate on a song to go out with and try to like have it not be all bad words this time, Nick?
Okay.
Like last
I have
time,
a song that
like,
I'm really into right now.
What is it?
It's "I Like It" by Cardi B.
Oh, yeah. I haven't.
Yes.
I'm so
that
behind.
One's a jam.
Yeah.
Her album came out like 3 weeks ago. I still haven't listened to it.
I second that.
All right.
Bless
Sounds
her.
Good. You guys,
quorum has been reached.
Yep.
You guys have collaborated on that. Thank you both so much. Oh, I meant to mention earlier in the show,
what?
Too. Hannah, you're coming back here tomorrow.
Yes, I am.
And you and I, last time you were on the show, we started to kind of accidentally talking about cleaning at the very last 5 minutes of the show, which ended up being the last like 20 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
So what did you say we should call it at the beginning?
Clean In.
Oh, yeah, clean in.
Which also makes it sound like a telethon, which I'm even more into.
And I just love the idea of you getting to, like, your 1,000th episode, and then, like, Sheryl Sandberg finally coming on the show.
Yes. So we could call it clean in.
Well, your thing was, what was your talk
clean to me.
Talk clean to me.
Or keep it clean.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, we'll figure that out. Okay. And maybe we'll even come back with more Barely the News. We'll see. Keep
you
it interesting
what?
Out there, bears.
The Venn diagram of bears and cleaning is, like, there's a decent amount of overlap in the middle.
You think so?
Well, how do you get bear shit out of your lawn? I don't know.
That's a good question. Why is there bear shit in your lawn?
Tomorrow, TBTL investigates.
They're following the cupcakes.
TBTL breaking news.
All right, guys. Thank you both so much. Wait, pluggy things?
Oh.
Nick, follow?
Oh, Northwest Nerd Podcast, nw-nerd.com, and all of the social media. The third season will be starting in a couple months, but we're doing a couple events like Versus Comic-Con out in Seaside, Oregon, coming up in July.
Great.
So we're around. We're doing things. Check us out.
Great.
Seaside in July, too. That's going to be really fun and beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It's going to be so nice.
I'm excited.
Oh, I'm envious.
About you, HBO.
Yeah, people can follow me on Twitter at Ms. Hannah Brooks, and you can then see what I write and where I'm writing for.
Should they hire you to write stuff, and what would you write for them?
I mean, they can. I work for many people, being their ghostwriter, and so you kind of never know.
There.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of never know when you're actually reading my writing, but it's probably more often than you think.
Okay, all right. So if you need a ghostwriter, call HBO.
Can I make a quick request before we go out? Will you restart this song? Because the beginning's the best part.
I can do that very
smoothly.
You didn't
need to use it as 5 minutes
long.
Music?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Just all right, everybody. Why don't, do you guys want to collaborate on the outro? I don't say anything, and you just will say, no mountain too tall, good luck to all, or whatever?
Yeah, sure.
That works.
Or whatever.
Yes.
Like, or whatever it is. See how cool I am? Just like, yeah, chill.
No mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
I like stunning. I like shining. I like million-dollar deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas. The ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula. I put rocks all in my watch. I like sexes from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving to get wrong. I do what they say I can. They call me Cardi, Cardi, banging body, spicy mommy, hot tamale, hotter than a Somali. Burr, go, Ferrari. Hop up the stool, jump in the coupe. Big dip on top of the roof. Flexing on bitches as hard as I can. Eating halal, driving a lamb. So that bitch, I'm sorry though. Got my coins like Mario. Yeah, they call me Cardi B. I run this shit like cardio. Diamond District in the chain. Handsome, what's his name? Yeah. I need the dollars to just beat it up like pinata. Turn the jobs, close the curtains. Bad bitch, make you nervous.
Chambean, chambean, pero no jalan. Tú compras todas las Jolambo, a mí me las regalan. I spend in the club, what you have in the bank. This is the new
power out.